shuts and no one opens. I know your work. See, I have set before you an open door. So God has doors for you and I. It could be doors of business, doors of ministry, doors of promotion in your profession, doors that of opportunities that will come your way and my way. In your life and my life, God has doors. Now what happened is God will keep the doors closed until He finished preparing the things that He prepares. When it's all ready for you, God will open the door for you. And here is where your effort comes in. You need to learn how to go through the door. Go to the right doors that God has opened. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and it shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Some people don't knock. It did say knock, didn't it? The Bible said knock. And in God's time, He opened it for you and I. Now, here's an interesting thing. What happens when the door is not yet open? Look at Colossians chapter 4. And here's where we learn to flow with grace and favor. Grace and favor are basically the open doors God has for you. When you enter into the door that God has prepared, you will find grace and favor. Because those are the works that are designed for you to walk in. Colossians chapter 4. And this is Paul's prayer in verse 2 and 3. Colossians 4 verse 2 and 3. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. Now, Paul is telling the Colossians, we have a burden here. And there's something to do here, but we need God to open the door. So he says, pray for God to open the door. Now let's illustrate with Elijah again. Elijah was an unknown prophet. Nobody up to 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 1 has ever heard who Elijah is. In fact, nowhere in the Bible is his name mentioned under 1 Kings chapter 17. So he could have been a man of God, a man of prayer, a farmer, or whatever profession he was, working very hard and spending a lot of time with God, getting more burdened about the sin in Israel. And he could be one of those normal little people who are hungry for revival. And he's just praying on and on for revival, praying more and more that something will be done about the sin in the land. And the more he prayed, the more God directed him to pray with authority to stop the rain and to challenge the forces of that time. Remember, it's Elijah who challenged the false prophets. Where did he get the authority from? God opened a door for him. Now, until God opened a door, he cannot go through the door. You can try if you want, and you find that it's not successful. See, God has to open a door. And so he prayed. And he prayed and he prayed, and one day God says, Elijah, I have given you the key. You have the key of authority now in your nation. Go through. And he walked boldly. He dared to challenge. It didn't seem that he did much prayer anymore because he had delegated authority. And then when he challenged the false prophets, he really challenged them. He says, let the God who is a real God answer by fire. Think about that. You better know who your God is. He challenged them because he had a key to the authority in that land. There was something that he definitely received. The grace and favor of God to be a prophet to the whole nation. It was God's time for him. Before that, he was a nobody. After that, he became known as Elijah. And everyone knows who Elijah is. Just overnight. But it took God to open a door. And sometimes, you know, certain places are not ready. Or you're not supposed to go through those doors. Look at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And in Acts 16, verse 7. And they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came to, down to Troas, which is a seaside town, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood, pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen a vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord has called us there. God opened a door on that side. But not to Bithynia, not to Mysia. He has to go to the right door in order for grace and favor to flow. And sometimes, and here are the little pointers that we'll give you. Number one, firstly, sometimes the doors don't open in exactly the way we expect it. And you and I have to discover the doors. So the doors are not to our expectation. It's not so much like, it doesn't always happen that God will show you 100%. And you say, "All right, I know which door it is. It's the blue door." And you go to the blue door. Sometimes you're not quite sure where the door is because it's not, the spiritual world is not like everything very concrete and visible. You sometimes have to go into the situation to discover where the door is. And sometimes our own prejudices and our own limitations of our thinking block us from recognizing the open door. Look at the book of Acts very carefully. As Paul started his journey in the book of Acts chapter 13, he was sent out by the church in his first missionary journey. Now, Paul, being a Jew, always reached out to the Jews first. And so Paul went over in Acts 13, preached the gospel. And these are some of the results in verse 42. He went to the synagogue in Antioch in Pisidia. In Acts 13, verse 42, hold your place in Acts, we can look at several places. Acts 13, verse 42. When the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them. So he went to the Jews by custom, when the open door was to the Gentiles. And when he finished, the Gentiles were literally begging. You see, there's grace and favor there. They were begging to hear the gospel. It was ready. And in verse 43, when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas. And verse 44, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. All the Gentiles came. And then was the next verse. The Jews, when they saw the crowds, they became envious that God had opened the door. Now you and I know that at the moment, here in June 27, 2004, the open door in our nation is not ready yet. You know when it's ready? People will be crying out with hunger for God. That's why we still need to keep praying. And the wide open door revival is ready. But until then, we have to make sure we are not the blockage in God. And keep praying. And you could do things when the door is not open, and it will be a lot of effort, but very little fruit. But one thing you got to keep doing all the time, you got to keep the witness going out. Like a lighthouse, you just have to keep shining. For whichever little ships that are ready to come to the shore. And so the Jews did not like Paul. And in verse 48, the Gentiles heard this. They were glad, glorified the word of God. And the word of God was spread. But verse 50, the Jews stirred up the devout man. Oh, the Jews were always after Paul. See, there was no open door for him there. The Gentiles gave him an open door. So in chapter 14, verse 1, they went to Iconium and then to the synagogue of the Jews, and they preached. But verse 2, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. And verse 4, part of the city sided with the Jews, part with the apostles. And a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse some of them. So they fled. They went to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia. And there they had a miracle. And same thing, Paul keep preaching. And in verse 21, they preach the gospel to the city and make many disciples, but the Jews keep harassing them, going wherever they went. And then that finished the first missionary journey, where it says in verse 27, God opened a door of faith for the Gentiles. Now remember, they discovered the door as they went. Right? They did not have a clear word saying, this is the group to go. Not like Troas in Acts 16. But they discovered it as they went along. Then after the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15, where they determined the Gentile question, in Acts chapter 16, they started on their second missionary journey. Where, of course, they went to Philippi. And their first stop was Philippi, and they had a great, wonderful time in Philippi, where there were many converts. Then chapter 17, verse 1 and verse 2. Read carefully, verse 1 and verse 2. Acts 17. When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Now verse 2. Then Paul, as his custom was. Didn't say it was the Lord, as his custom was. Went in to them, for 3 Sabbath reasoned with them. Verse 5. The Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men, as gangsters from the marketplace, gathering a mob, and attacked the house of Jason. Right? Right. And not our Jason song leader, but Jason here, on the one of the ruler of the synagogues, sought to bring them out. And they troubled them. And verse 10, they sent Paul and Silas to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews again. And they continued to try to preach the gospel to them. They went from place to place, chased by the Jews. God protected them, of course, all the time. Under Acts chapter 18, he was in Corinth. That was a famous city. And in verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, persuaded both Jews and Greeks. And then God spoke to him and said to him here that he has many people in the city. And in verse 11, he continued there a year and 6 months. So he continued preaching and establishing the church there. But again, it was primarily the Gentiles who accepted and the gospel that Paul was preaching. Always you can find that it's always the Gentiles who respond, but not so much the Jews. And Paul always have to be directed to the Gentiles where God continue to give him grace and favor. And that's the word there, grace and favor. He continued to have grace and favor wherever he went to the ministry of the Gentiles, because that was his prime call. He was an apostle to the Gentiles. Now look at Acts 18 in a way in verse 5 and 6. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Acts 18 verse 5 and 6, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. He testified in verse 5 to the Jews. Now he didn't really have an open door. He was just bearing witness. And verse 6, when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. What did he say at the ending of verse 6? From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. I think when he said that, Father God looks down and says, amen. Been trying to tell you that all the time. The angels that were working hard protecting Paul says, phew, he finally go to the right door now. Because they've been working very hard protecting him. Because Paul says, I will now go to the Gentiles. Took him a long time to figure that out. But God was blessing him in that door of grace and favor. So sometimes we have to discover the doors on ourselves. And as we see from Paul's example in point number one here,